For 13 years, I served as a student minister or as an associate pastor in three wonderful churches. And in one of those churches, it was kind of the custom that associate pastors only got to preach once a year. So that was it. You were lucky to get that one day and you were thankful for it. Well, one particular day, the senior pastor called me and said, I've got to go out of state on an emergency. It was a Friday. Can you preach this Sunday? I said, oh, you bet. I'd be glad to preach. That'd be my second time that year. As a matter of fact, when I got done, the other associates, when I did the closing prayer of the sermon, they came up with the Gatorade and just poured it on me because I had gotten two in 1 year. That particular Sunday, that pastor was to begin a brand new sermon series. And this was a big sermon series for our church. We had advertised it in the newsletter, had banners made. It was a big deal, but he had let me know on the phone, don't start that series, I'll start it the next Sunday. And so I came that Sunday morning, everybody was expecting a series. So I got up and preached whatever I preached. Let's say it was John 13. Today we're in John 13, but you came expecting a series. So we're going to continue a year and a half from now when I get back to preaching. And in a year and a half, we had sermon number two in that series. And then another year or so after that, we had sermon. I never got to finish, actually. Never got up enough to finish that series. Well, this is what we're going to do. I've been reading in Hebrews just for some quiet time last month. And when we get together for communion, it won't be every month or every other month, but several times a year. I just want us to go to Hebrews and to see what is it that author tells us about the one who offered himself for us. What does he say about our high priest, Jesus, as we prepare to receive this holy meal? And that's really the hope and intent, that we prepare our hearts to receive and also that we just put our attention on Jesus. Again, that's the heart of why we meet every Sunday anyway. My wife and mother-in-law are here, both born and raised on the mission field in Brazil. I am told that when Pelé scored his 1,000th goal for the Brazil team or in his career, that they showed that 1,000th goal every day for a solid year on Brazil TV. Do you think they got tired of it? Oh, no. If you know anything about Brazil and their soccer, day 364, day 365, they're still glued to the TV. Look at him do this again. How much more for us than when we gather together, we gather to lift up the Christ, to glorify his name, to remember again what he has won for us and what he has done for us. And here, we're celebrating a story that just doesn't get old, as the hymn writers would say. Tell me the stories of Jesus I long to hear. Or the other hymn, sing them over again to me, these wonderful words of life. And so the author of Hebrews is saying to us that Jesus, our high priest, when he had finished what he had finished for us at Calvary on the cross, he sat down. Is anybody here, it's okay to raise your hand. You won't be accused of getting in the spirit. How many of you grew up ever riding the bus? Anybody ever have to ride a school bus? Okay, you're going to know what I'm going to talk about then. Because there's politics to riding a school bus. You get on the school bus, as I did for the first time. First time I rode a bus was in right at fourth grade in Pennsylvania. And you get on that school bus for the first day and you just kind of survey the bus, right? You go, oh, I don't want to sit there. You don't go in the back. I was in fourth grade. I don't go to the back of the bus with the sixth grade guys. I stay away from that area, right? Okay, I don't want to sit with them. So you find your spot. Hopefully you find an open spot and claim that for yourself. And then you try to do your best to hold that spot either for a best friend or for yourself. You don't want to get stuck with somebody that you can't make conversation with. I would put notes out like I was doing homework on the way to school. But I have my notes out trying to save the spot. But the key reason I was saving that spot, I'm sorry, Sarah, was Karen Reeder. Oh, you've heard of Karen. Of course you have. Most beautiful girl in 1977 in central Pennsylvania, Karen Reeder, a sixth grader. And so I would do my best to, you know, push people, oh, no, don't sit with me, sit with them. And I'd keep my spot because at the end of that route, I knew we were going by Karen Reeder's house. And if I could save that spot till we got to her house, all of a sudden I would pick up my notes, slide over to this and make sure she knew there was a full seat waiting here, if she wanted to. I try to be nonchalant, you know, act cool. But if she sat there, if Karen sat, oh, that made this fourth grader's week that I sat by Karen Reeder. Jesus sat down. Now, we don't get the full import of that until we really walk through what Hebrews is saying, but not just what Hebrews is saying, but really what the scriptures are saying to us about high priests and when do they sit. And here's just the one takeaway from today. And it's really the verse after 18, that you and I can know a confidence and an assurance to our great salvation in Jesus Christ because Jesus sat down. You and I, and this is really John Wesley, our forefather, over any other doctrine that he preached, a good Methodist doctrine, sanctification, that you and I can be remade in the image of God, free will, that we can respond. God has to initiate his grace, but we can respond to that. Covered dishes. I'm sure he talked about covered dishes at some point as Methodists. But it was assurance. Seminary professor told me one day, 10 to 1 over any other doctrine, you, as the great Baptist preacher Adrian Rogers would say, you can know that you know that you know. We don't have to wonder if what Christ has done was enough. We don't have to wonder and be anxious, but you and I, and this wonderful word that comes up in Hebrews, that he, in verse 12, sat down. We can affirm with the Apostles' Creed, or verse chapter 1 and 3, 8 and 1 of Hebrews, we can know that he sat in that place of authority, and it was done. We don't have to be anxious. Sarah and I watched one of the speakers from the IF conference last night, Jill Briscoe, who was a child during the bombing of England in World War II. So she begins with a life of anxiousness, and it continued through her adult life, so much so that she confessed, I think the first words one of her children spoke were her words of anxiety, oh dear, that she had passed that on. But you and I don't have to be that way. No matter our feelings, no matter what somebody tries to pass on to us, no matter if the accuser of the brethren tries to whisper in your ear, he doesn't love you, he's not for you, you and I can open to Hebrews 10 and know that what Christ has done at Calvary for us was complete. It was done once for all, and he sat down, meaning it was finished. Next week, we're going to hear a ministry moment from Salt and Light Ministries, that Honduras trip that we take every year. I hope you're open to that and praying about that, how you might support that or pray for that or go. The first time, or really the only time I went to Honduras on a mission trip, they tagged me as the preacher and I was the cameraman. So I preached all day, but then I would also grab my camera between services and film everything. I was so tired after that week because I literally, from when we got up to when we went to bed, I didn't sit down. I was preaching, filming, preaching, filming, standing all day long. That's what the book of Hebrews reminds us about the priests of that day. Not just are they standing daily in verse 11 on the Day of Atonement, on the seasonal offerings of Passover and Pentecost, on Sabbath day or even monthly or new moon gatherings, but as individual families would come over and over, time after time, Scripture reminds us that these priests would stand. And I love what the former president of your seminary, or Dr. Joe's seminary, where he graduated, Mom, he says, you know what, in the temple area, God is meticulous about how he describes everything. This is how this room should look. This is how this furniture should look. Here's where this goes. And I love what Brian Chappell says. There's one piece of furniture that's never detailed in Scripture. It's a chair for the priests. Because they're always standing to make sacrifice. It's finished. When Jesus had done his work on the cross for our sins and for our salvation, you and I can bank on it. Because he doesn't stand as high priest anymore. He sat down. His work was accomplished. There should be, in verse 9, a confidence and a boldness and assurance. Sometimes we don't feel it, but we claim it. His work was done. And that should embolden how we are about our faith. We We don't have to wonder if we're loved. We don't have to wonder if I have to drum something up in myself, but we know that his work is done. It ought to embolden us in our evangelism, and it should embolden us in our walk with Jesus, knowing that work is complete. Today we celebrate that the high priest of God, Jesus Christ, he sat down because he had completed what he had done once for all who would receive. Praise Jesus for that. And we gather together then to be at this table to remember that, to celebrate that, as we remember on the night in which he was betrayed and the night before he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.